Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beers, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
Vince, we're getting back on a plane. We're going across the Atlantic.
I love it.
And you better bring your sweet hiney along with...
Along with your Ken doll from the critically acclaimed Barbie movie that did make $1 billion.
Oscar Award nominee, Ken.
Oh my God.
We won't get into that, but we are going to get into Amsterdam's own
Heineken.
It's been a long time.
I haven't had one of these. I can't confirm that I've ever had a Heineken.
I for sure have, but I think it's been maybe 8 years.
Like, I can't say that I haven't. I can't imagine or fathom that I haven't had one. And yet, looking back, I have no memory of it.
I've had one with our friend Scott McKay, because he used to enjoy those on occasion. But I generally think of it as like a dad beer. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Something you would see at family parties, and your dad would be like, hey, when you're older one day.
It's very popular European-wise. Like, yeah. You go over to Europe and... You ask for a Heineken, they know what you're talking about. You ask for a Miller Lite, and they're like, what's wrong with
you? It's one of the highest-selling, best-known beer brands in the world, and it's time. It's getting the Friday Night Beers treatment. Vince,
hey-o.
Should we get a little cracking going?
Why not?
Let's do it.
Crack clock.
We'll get a crack, and then why don't you tell the people who, for some reason, don't know what Heineken is about it.
Well, I'll tell you guys right now, the origin, Amsterdam, Netherlands. We are looking at a premium malt lager. Cheers, Tom.
Cheers to that.
I've had this. Yep. The memories come flooding back.
Tastes exactly as I remember.
Oh, man. It's actually coming in at 5%, which is, I think, tenths of a percentage point higher than some of our domestic swill.
Yep, not much higher, but yeah.
The description is blah. It's very corporate. There are adjectives that have been placed by lawyers and professional advertisers, but I'll read it anyways. For over 150 years, a ceaseless commitment, to premium taste and quality have made Heineken, all rights reserved, the most iconic beer brand in the world. When you see the red star on the green bottle, you know every ice-cold, crisp sip will deliver that richly satisfying flavor with subtle fruity notes, a tradition of taste that has lived on for over a century and a half thanks to the simplicity and quality of the ingredients and the meticulous attention to the brewing process. Nothing about the taste, which is really fine, like no notes. But how do you describe this taste for the folks, Tom? Because it is unique.
It's skunky. I mean, when I remember when
I... Skunky.
I remember when I first, like, smelled it and had it, I could tell it was different than the stuff I was used to drinking, which was crap. But I don't remember being, like, in love with Heineken off my first experience of it, you know?
This taste reminds me of, like, you remember at a family gathering when you, and I know that you've had this experience, when an uncle talks to you like halfway through and they just reek of booze?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
This Heineken tastes like that smells.
I think about my uncles when I see this beer. I think about guys in their 40s and 50s that are like talking a little too close to you. And you're like, yeah, this is an older guy thing. It's like cologne. Like, it kind of reminds me of cologne.
A ceaseless commitment to cologne.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about famous marketing campaigns. To be honest, I don't really remember notable Heineken commercials. I will want to get into some ties later, like product placement. But
okay.
I don't remember there being like a super notable ad campaign.
There is a very recent one that's been going around, and they're basically trading on the fact that everyone knows Heineken, even if they don't understand whatever the Japanese word for it is, whatever the Indian word for it is, right? Everyone knows eventually, mm-hmm. which is kind of what I said at the start. Like, you know this international brand. Everybody No one looks at you weird when you ask for a Heineken.
But I think a lot of people aren't familiar with the history, which I think is shockingly fascinating.
It's long, Tom. Yeah. Like, this thing goes back. It was founded in 1864 by a 22-year-old. What were you doing when you were 22?
I was living with my parents and taking the train to make no money.
So, okay, when I was 22, I was doing basically the same. I'm pretty sure I was looking for a job. So I can't envision that. But somebody made a good point to me recently that 22, back in like the 1800s, you were probably two-thirds of the way through your life. You weren't living much longer.
If you like had finished puberty, you were basically a man. You were working.
Yeah. So I take a little solace in that. Yeah. Of course, you know, being from the softest generation.
Yes. So this guy, Gerard Heineken, is 22. He founds the company. What happens after that?
So he bought a brewery known as De Huyberg, the Haystack, which is fun. Love that. Basically, 1869, they switched to bottom fermenting yeast. 1873, the name changed to Heineken's Bierbrauerij Maasstapelge. I don't know how to say HBM. And they opened a second one in Rotterdam. And in 1886, little fun factoid here, Dr. H. Elion, a pupil of Louis Pasteur, heard of him? Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Developed the Heineken A yeast in the Heineken laboratory, and this yeast is still the key ingredient of Heineken beer today.
So that's basically why it tastes distinct. Right, so then from there, his son, Henry Heineken, he kind of took over.
Hank Heine!
He took over from 1970 to 1940, and then at that point, his son, so the grandson of the founder, Alfred Heineken, became the new head honcho. He was affectionately known as Freddy. And Vince, something bad happened to Freddy in the later part of his life.
In the later part of his life.
Yeah, when he was in his 60s. God.
He fell, he broke a hip.
Oh, it's worse than that.
Louis Pasteur can't save him.
At this point, it's 1983, Freddy Heineken is one of Europe's richest men and has built this brewery into a multi-billion dollar international powerhouse. Well, these five random schmucks come up with this plan to kidnap him, and they succeed. they plotted it out for 2 years. They kidnap him and his driver, this guy named Ab Dodurer, and their original plan was they were going to ransom him for $11 million at the time, which...
Who's paying that? It's not like they kidnapped a kid and a distraught mother's begging a father or a grandfather to pay
that. I guess they targeted this guy because they wanted somebody really rich, but not somebody from who was literally royal, because they thought the consequences would be lighter and they could just get away with it. They did it because they loved money and partying, and there was a bit of an economic crisis in Amsterdam at the
time. Hold on, is that the quote? Is that like when they said, "What's your motive?" They said, "We love partying." We love it.
I didn't dig into the court proceedings.
But also money. Don't forget the money. We love the money.
Right. But they kidnap him, these two guys. It was five dudes. They rushed them to this warehouse where they had built a false wall and two soundproofed cells. They thought this was going to last 2 days. It went on for 3 weeks.
Whoa.
And they kept up their normal routines during the day. They went to their jobs. And then instead of going home, they're like, let's check in on Freddy and his driver. And basically, this was going flawlessly until an anonymous tip was reported, and the cops found out where they were, and they were ordering Chinese food for two to this abandoned warehouse. And that's what kind of did them in, and these guys went on the run. Eventually, you know, Freddy was returned, and...
To who?
To himself.
To his empty house?
Yeah. But long story short, the guys who did this, they were like famous all over Europe. One of them was shot to death at an Amsterdam restaurant in 2003. And other guys were like living in Paraguay and France on the lam for decades. They all eventually went to prison, but...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it was like, it didn't happen quickly.
That's wild.
And yeah, and Freddie Heineken became a legend in his country and lived a long, rich life. He died in 2002. And they made a movie about this.
They did? What's it called?
It's called Kidnapping Freddie Heineken. And you know who played him?
Oh, God.
Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, so there's a little bit of oomph behind that casting.
So the reason why you don't know about that movie is because it got a 19% on Rotten Tomatoes and generally wasn't very good, apparently.
It's probably the last remaining guy who kidnapped going, this is not real. It's not. It was nothing like this.
Yeah. Isn't that just a wild story, though?
That's insane. The wildest part to me is like that they kidnapped the source of the money and held him for ransom. What are you like? Who's gonna go to the bank account? He's gonna have to contact the bank. Like, you could have just said, "We'll let you go if you drop us a bag of cash," and he probably would have done it. You got to take something he loves. I don't want to say that I've thought this through, but I've seen enough movies, films, everything to know that like you can't take the 60-year-old man who has nothing. Right? You have to take something that he cares about. Let's talk about all the money in the world.
The Gettys.
Very interesting because that explored what happened when the man with all the money in the world said, fuck you, grandson.
I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, but it's like I've never heard of a ransom situation ending where the person just gets the money and gets to walk away. Like,
no.
Eventually they get caught and the money's returned. And they go to jail. That's how every one of these situations ends.
In real life.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of them that Shawshank technically, it's not ransom, but technically he made out. It was a happy ending for him.
Yeah, but he had to crawl through a river of shit.
Andy Dufresne 20 years. Crawled through 100 yards of shit. I don't even want to think about it. Speaking of Morgan Freeman, I believe a cast member of Las Vegas.
Yes.
When a bunch of 65-year-old to 80-year-olds went on a buddy comedy trip to Las Vegas. This is basically the Las Vegas of kidnappings.
Yeah. A bunch of guys who are kind of dumb.
You know, in old school, when they're kidnapping everybody and they kidnap Blue.
Yes.
And they've got to like slowly walk him in. That's what they had to do to Freddie Heineken. Like they couldn't rough him up. They literally be like, okay, there you go. Shh, you're fine.
Yeah. That was one of the funniest scenes in the trailer when Will Ferrell's got the stocking over his head. Yeah. And he's like, if you tell anybody, we'll kill your family. And he's like, I'm just kidding. He'll be back at 8.
And then he goes through the chips.
Yeah. He grabs them. Yeah.
I love a good kidnapping story. What is your favorite kidnapping story in popular culture?
Oh man, kidnappings. Well, do you count Home Alone as an attempted kidnapping?
I think I count that as an attempted B&E.
Attempted B&E.
They never tried to remove the child from
the
house.
They weren't necessarily trying to kidnap him, but
yeah.
It was sort of implied. What about the Parent Trap? That's like a kind of a reverse kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a reverse catfish. Actually, it's just a catfish.
It's just a regular catfish.
Yeah. That's my bad. Okay, so I'll give you the one that I love, featuring none other than Jeff Bridges, the dude, the Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski's an absolute classic, which we did a whole episode on.
And this is essentially like the Big Lebowski, when we talk about it, has a lot of parallels to this.
Yeah, dumb criminals.
Yep.
Kind of a crazy story. Doesn't go according to plan.
Right.
Seems silly, even though it's serious.
I always like confuse the Dutch with the Germans as well. I feel like they're kind of close,
the nihilists. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
This isn't a fun movie, but Prisoners is very noteworthy, and that's early Denis Villeneuve.
Remind me, Prisoners is
Hugh Jackman is the dad, and Jake Gyllenhaal is the detective.
Yes,
and
Paul Dano's in it, isn't he?
Yeah, super creepy.
Yes.
How about Room with our girl Brie Larson?
Another
tough one to watch.
We're going very dark here. Very. How about that cop? Like, cops have been getting a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
In Room, that cop was like talking to this kid who hasn't been in the outside world he's never been in the outside world. He was born in that room.
Yeah.
And she figured it out. She's like, I got a location. I'm like, God, give her a raise.
Yeah. I think the reason that we're going dark is because it's an incredibly serious subject. Like, there's not a lot of fun kidnapping moments.
What's insane to me is that we have a word that is kidnapping. It's not just like person napping. Like, it happens so many times to children that they're like, yeah, put kid in the word, because right. That's not going to happen to anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to ask a parent what their worst fear ever is, it would be that. Like, that'd be number one.
I mean, no, probably like finding out my child is dead. That's number one. Well, kidnap close behind.
Usually they go hand in hand.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Not to make light of that. However, like, can you imagine when they first started with the word kidnapping and like having to, it was probably so embarrassing to have to admit as like a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was, I don't want to say it. Fine. I was kidnapped. Yeah. And it was like, oh my God, the thing that happens to 6-year-olds. And now it's like very, like,
I was man-napped. Should we try this out of the glass before we get too far down the line?
Yeah, I'll try this out of the glass. Why not?
We are also, we did get a Heineken Zero, which we're going to try at the very end here. A
little treat for you guys. I'm curious to see how it measures up. Like, we've had an NA
on the show,
but we've never had an opportunity like this where we have a beer and the non-alcoholic version of it.
Yeah. To be transparent here, I don't think I've ever had a Heineken out of a draft.
I think it's illegal to put Heineken on tap.
Yeah, I've never seen it on tap. So
I think it's illegal. I don't think you're
think it's like worth saying, like, try to get this on tap if you can, unless you're in Amsterdam.
I also don't think it's any better than out of the bottle.
No.
All it does is give me, like, it gives me flashbacks to being close-talked by a drunk 47-year-old.
Have you been to Amsterdam?
Yes.
What was your takeaway from it?
No. I went to the airport. Sorry, I got
confused. You went to the
airport?
Okay.
I got confused. How was the airport? Copenhagen. it was very Dutch. It was a Dutch experience. There were a lot of ergonomic chairs, interesting seating arrangements.
I've never been either. And I feel like part of the appeal for Americans of Amsterdam was that you could smoke weed there. And
the red light district.
And that prostitution was legal. And at least here, marijuana is mass legal.
Yeah.
So that's not, I guess, as cool for Amsterdam. I feel like there were a lot of movies that really glorified, like, just the insane culture of Amsterdam for Americans.
Euro Trip.
Just watched that recently.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Like, what? Sorry, did somebody kidnap you and hold you at gunpoint?
If kidnapping is equating it to just watching Pluto TV, then yes.
Pluto TV.
Yeah, I watched Euro Trip. That was, they think they eat pop brownies, but they're regular brownies. And then the guy goes to the sex club and has a pretty bad time. Ocean's 12 is another one that I've been fond of. They go to Amsterdam for a good chunk of that film.
Remind me, 12, what happens in 12?
Terry Benedict finds them and says he's got to pay them back. And since they're wanted in the U.S., they have to go overseas. So they go to Amsterdam, they go to Paris, they go to Rome, Italy.
Is this the one with the fox?
Yeah, the night fox.
The night fox. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. Some other ones that came to mind were obviously Ted Lasso.
Yeah, they spent a good...
Did a whole episode on that.
Good portion.
And I did want to just mention the product placement thing. In Skyfall, James Bond drinks a Heineken instead of a martini, which was a huge deal at the time.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I know some of our loyal listeners are huge Bond nerds. They love it.
Yeah, he drank a martini for 50 years of Bond movies, and they actually did a Bond movie in Amsterdam called Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay.
But I guess apparently in those movies, like, Heineken is often seen, but it's never consumed by Bond.
So everyone else is drinking Heineken. Right.
But it's like, no, I'm too classy for that. And then he changes that in Skyfall. He takes a sip, and the Heineken people were fucking psyched about this.
Can you imagine? Like, there has to be, this is like going back, how long has Heineken been featured? Probably from the start?
Probably from the beginning,
yeah. So from the start, so this is like 75 years of films. There is some like 99-year-old former marketing exec who's like, yes, this is what I've been saying for years. It's going to happen. Yeah.
As someone who works in marketing, I know people will celebrate just about anything, but this one seemed like it was worth celebrating.
Oh, this one is like a single tear rolls down his cheek and then he finally expires. Ball game. That's all he was staying. That's all he was alive for.
Yeah.
Is just to see James Bond drink one sip of Heineken.
On camera, yeah. Vince, so what else is this beer thinking for you while we get these zeros ready
to
go?
So I mean, overall, it's got a lot of history, I think, in both of our lives, right? I think the smell of it just kind of, and that's not from anybody drinking it like it is for you, for me, but it is just like, it just has that kind of dank smell. I don't know, like, remember I started this show saying I can't verify that I have had this, and then I had a sip. I was like, I have had this many, many times. It's a very distinct experience, and it is a good diversion in terms of mass-produced macros from what we're usually having in the States here. So from that perspective, great. Would I rather have a Stella? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should I rank it right now? Should we rate it?
We don't have to do the ratings yet. Let's do the zeros first.
Yeah, all right.
I want to give the zero a try.
Let's give it a try. The smell is distinctly different already.
Okay, so I'm going to immediately sip the other one.
Oh, dude, this is so different. This is fascinating.
I think I might like the zero more.
Really?
Yeah. I think, I'm drinking the regular one out of the glass right now.
Do a bottle to bottle.
Okay.
Comparison. I'm going to jam them both in your mouth.
Wish you could have seen that visual. Okay, there's one.
I also wish you guys could see this because Tom's literally got it between three fingers and he looks like he's tasting wine.
Yeah. Okay. I take it back. So the regular one is a smidge better, but it's pretty damn close. And I think that was our complaint about the other NA beer from season 2, was that you could ultimately tell that it was not a real beer. I think this is pretty close to mimicking that experience, don't you?
Yeah, it depends which one you start with. I started with the Heineken Zero, and I went to the Heineken, and it was immediate. It was so clear. However, when I had the Heineken and swapped to the Heineken Zero, it was a little less different. You could see how they were related. You can definitely taste the difference here. It just seems like a alcoholic Heineken has more presence than a non-alcoholic, which makes sense.
I feel like whoever replaces Daniel Craig as James Bond is going to be the Heineken Zero of Bonds.
It's just going to be a Heineken mascot in a tuxedo.
It's going to be Freddie Heineken's corpse reanimated. They should make a movie where like one of the bad guys kidnaps a wealthy CEO type.
Yeah, they should.
That would be a good Bond plot. I think I'm ready to give this a score now, Vince.
Give it a run.
So the best way I could describe Heineken as a whole is I think I admire it more than I love it. Like, it's a beer that tastes fine. It's something that if it's available and there's not a ton of other options, I'll drink it. I couldn't tell you a single like super fond memory I have of it, but that doesn't mean that I think that it sucks. Mm-hmm. So I think with all that in mind, I can't give it any higher than a 3 out of 5 Toms.
Yeah, that's fair. I kind of agree with everything you said, and I'd like to take a minute to just say, like, if it's the only option, I'm not going to be upset, but I'm not going to go out of my way to get it. I would liken Heineken to whatever is... I would liken Heineken to TNT and you've lost your remote on like a Sunday. That's what drinking it's like. Could you watch something better? Absolutely. Could you watch something without commercials? Probably. That's not really worth the effort, and this is okay. The Green Mile is fine. 2.5 out of 5 Vences.
Okay. Yeah, I think we landed in the same spot. But overall, for a mass-produced beer that's been around for 150 years, I think it's pretty solid. And, you know, I know people are very big fans of it. I don't know any of those people, but there's people that exist out there. And I think the if you're looking for a good NA, I do think that the silver is a great option for that.
Yeah, yeah, I do like this. I like this a lot. I would be interested in us actually trying an NA, like a very dark NA. We did an amber, but trying one of those like NA versions of a stout would be interesting. I think those would hold up pretty well. But
yeah,
another time,
yeah,
another episode.
I'm glad we did this one. I mean, look, we're doing a beer show. We got to do Heineken at some point,
oh, yeah.
Right? And you liked it better than Red Stripe, so that's
yeah, Red Stripe was horrific. This, the Red Star is better than the Red Stripe.
If you enjoy us, first of all, please don't kidnap us.
Or, you know what?
I don't have enough money to be ransomed off of. So, that said, we do encourage you to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a follow on social media. Don't follow us around,
well,
literally.
Most dangerous game, baby. Why not?
But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans,
must booze.
We'll see you later.